When it comes to the topic of prayer, the last thing I want to do here tonight is to guilt you into feeling like you need to pray more. Is there anybody here that says they pray enough? I don't know if we can arrive at that point. I don't know. I know of some people that pray a lot. I know that I'm greatly encouraged when people say that they pray for me. You know, when somebody says they're praying for you, you don't want to say, oh no, what do they think? No, you go, thank you very much. It's a wonderful thing. But I don't think we'll ever get to that point where you say, well, I've prayed enough for today. We have schedules. We have limitations. Yes, we do. But let's turn over to another passage on this topic of prayer. Let's go to the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. Just after the book of Daniel, little book of Hosea. We'll go to Hosea chapter 10. I know it's a little book in there. Might have a little time finding it, but we'll give you a minute. It's not a sword drill. You got it there right away. Dana's got it. He's up and... No, sword drills really help, don't they? I see our children know where to find the books of the Bible, and I think that that's a commendable thing. But I want to look in Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12. Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12. I do not envy Hosea as a prophet. He had a very difficult task before him. But it shows us there in verse 12 of chapter 10, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Living your life without prayer is like hiking over a mountain in the dead of night without a light or any provisions. You say, that is just plain foolish. Who would do that? Well, it's probably we have to kind of make it a little bit extreme to understand what it means to live life without prayer. It just should not be done. To move your life in your church to the next level, it is important to create a culture and a habit of prayer and intercession for those around you. And we all know that this has to begin with ourselves. Prayer is a little bit like humility. How do you encourage someone to be humble, right? You'd say that's a touchy subject. How do you encourage someone to pray is often very similar. And just as you would not hike through a desert without water, make sure that you're not living your life without prayer. Now, this book of Hosea is about the faithful love of God toward his unfaithful people, Israel. Here in Hosea chapter 10, Israel is an empty vine and their heart is divided. And Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 is God's instruction on returning to him. And I believe we can learn from this same verse as it can be applied to us in the avenue of prayer. There's first of all, the preparation of prayer. Tells us here as he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. I believe that sowing and reaping are just promises that are naturally occurring in our lives. But he tells us to, he says, first of all, break up. So there's a preparation of prayer. And he's saying here, break up. Breaking up the soil of our hearts refers to a personal commitment to confession and repentance. I must personally have my heart right with God before I can effectively pray for others. I know sometimes people will say, and it's true, you can pray anywhere, anytime. But let's be careful. What if I have unconfessed sin in my life? Am I really on praying ground? Like, we know we can pray anywhere. I drive in my car and pray. And some of you drive with me. My wife sometimes prays more than other people when I'm driving. But we joke about those kind of things. But on the other hand, we can pray anywhere, but we can't pray in any condition. So we have to break up some things. Psalm 51, 2 and 3. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. The psalmist is acknowledging this and saying, I need to be cleansed because he knew that he needed prayer with the Lord. And Psalm 51:10, in that same chapter, he goes on to say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That no, we can pray anywhere, anytime, but not in any condition. We need to have this broken up and right fellowship between us and the Lord. Not only the preparation of prayer, but he talks about the hindrances of prayer, because he says to break up your fallow ground. Now, we know that, you know, ground can be left fallow because it'll help it. But how long? Like, we're talking, he's usually talking about Israel here. So he's saying there's been a long time where there hasn't, the ground has not been used for the purpose that it's intended for. He says you need to break up that fallow ground, not to keep it there. The condition of our heart determines our growth or fruitfulness or our usefulness for God. Fallow ground has not had anything purposefully planted there. And sometimes the fallow ground is left untilled and unattended, whereas at other times the ground has been tilled, but nothing has been planted there. God wants to do something with the unplanted ground in our lives. And if you do not plant something in your life, it is fallow ground. It will not produce anything productive. If you don't plant something there, it'll produce something, but not productive. It's gonna. I've had a few people ask me, so are you getting your garden tilled up? Nope, I haven't got there yet. But it's producing. Yep, I got some weeds about this high. You know, so far yet, I haven't been able to eat those weeds. I have no intention to. But I'm expecting some great things later on. I'm going to have to do some breaking up. And, you know, it's been laying all dormant all winter long. And I want to see it produce something. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what do you say? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And like when he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God, that we're looking to our Savior. What we need to do. Not only the preparation and the hindrances of prayer, but we see the urgency of prayer. He says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time. It is time. When it comes to prayer, we know that there's no time like the present. And if you tell somebody, hey, I'm going to be praying for you, I would encourage you, write it down. I don't know about you, but it's easy to say, listen, I'll pray for you, but I have to remember. And I have to be able to realize that the present is very important. We know in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing. That means that we can pray in the present where we are. We've said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, you know, stir up this fallow ground, and now it is time. And not only the urgency, but then there's the focus of prayer. He says there to seek the Lord. There's the focus. We're to be earnestly and honestly seeking the Lord. Psalm 55:17, the psalmist said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, we know from the book of Daniel that Daniel did this three times a day. So he was earnest about this, and we know that the focus of our prayer is to seek the Lord. You say, well, isn't the focus of prayer to get prayers answered? No, that's secondary. Primary is, I need to seek the Lord. Because I will leave the answering of prayer to whom? To him. Now, don't tell me that you haven't prayed and figured out for God how he should do it. We've all been there. Am I the only one? Okay, you're kind of looking at me like, really? No. But we've all been there. We've prayed, and we've already in our mind figured out how God can do it. And like as if that's the only way. And isn't it always amazing when I get those ideas and God says, I'm going to answer your prayer anyway, and he always does it some way that was never, ever imagined. Why? Because what it always shows me is I need to seek the Lord. I need to stop trying to figure it out myself and let the Lord do the figuring out. If he prompts me to do something else besides pray, I need to be listening, but I need to pray. I need to seek him. Then there's the persistence of prayer. He says, till he come. Till what? Until that time comes. Keep going. We do not view our Heavenly Father as someone that we bug until we get what we want, but we come to Him in prayer believing that He will answer, and we keep on praying. Some of you have probably been praying for a long time for some loved ones or family members. I want to encourage you tonight to keep on praying. And I've shared with you before how when I was a boy, we prayed for some family members, and I remember it was at least 5 or 6 years, I remember, we prayed for certain family members, and then finally one of those family members came to know the Lord. And from there, many others followed the Lord. And one of those actually ended up becoming a preacher, and he's since gone home to be with the Lord. But God really worked in a bunch of people's hearts and brought them to Christ, and I still know many of them today are walking with God. They're serving in their local church, and they're following the Lord. Why? Because my parents said, we need to pray for them. And I remember as a child, you know how as a child you remember praying the same thing over and over again? I mean, if you do that 3 times as a child, you think you've been doing it for years, right? I mean, it just seems to go forever. And this literally was for years, but we saw God answer prayer, and this was quite a boost to our faith because, you know, we didn't go to church and say, hey, pray for them. No, we just prayed in our home, and we kept praying and kept that persistence. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it's an effectual but fervent. It's continuing, and it's fervent. It's there. It's got an urgency to it. Psalm 116, 1 and 2, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. I plan to spend the rest of my life praying. Prayer will always be a part of my life. The psalmist said, I will call upon Him as long as I live. There's never going to come a time when we said, we prayed enough, we don't need to pray anymore. That will never happen. Because what's our focus, we said, was to seek the Lord. So there's the persistence there as well. Then there's the dynamic presence of Christ in prayer. It says, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Till He come. Christ has come in bringing us redemption now. We're looking back on that. The Holy Spirit has come and giving us power. Holy Spirit, since Jesus went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit was given. When we are saved, He fills us with His Spirit, seals us, and now it's up to us to surrender to Him. We need to be praying for the power of God upon our lives, upon our church, and the power of God is available through prayer. In Ephesians, we saw there in chapter 6, verse 18, He says they're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we're looking here at God doing this. In Acts 12, verse 5, it tells us Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And so they were continuing to pray and expecting the Lord to answer. Then there's the abundant answers to prayer. He ends this verse here saying, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, throughout the Old Testament, rain was a symbol of God's physical blessings. So we find here, he says, until He comes and rain, or He would pour out this righteousness upon you. And we will be without the blessings of God when prayer is lacking. Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 33, verse 3 said, call unto me. God says there, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, if you've been saved for any length of time, and we've around here, we've seen this, and if we were to take time tonight and go around the room and talk about answered prayer, we could probably be here for quite a while because we could come along and say, there have been so many times that God has met needs and He has answered prayer and He's been there for us. And even you can probably recall times where before you prayed, God was already there with the answer. Now, it doesn't make us... What is it? It doesn't make us not want to pray. So, well, before I even prayed about this, God answered. What that does is it encourages us to pray more because we understand the all-encompassing God that we have and that He is right there for us before we even get to pray. And we will never get to that point, at least we ought not, where we say, well, God already knows, so there's no sense in praying. That's just sloppy. That's just faithless. That'll take away from practicing our faith and moving forward in our growth for the Lord. So he shows us here is that these many aspects of prayer we can apply through this. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. And he points out a few things here about prayer. As he talks about this armor of God. Because in verse 17 of Ephesians 6, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we notice the grammatical structure here is it's not the end of the sentence. It's not the end of the thought. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. So he goes forward, even when we get to the end of verse 18, and he's still not done. He continues on in verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He goes on to say, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so he's looking for prayer. And so we need to be standing, as we've seen this, standing with this armor. We mentioned that he told us to be able to withstand. And having done all to stand, so when we withstand, we're standing against something. And when we stand, and he says that's another word, means we're standing for something. And we need both of those in our lives. When it comes to prayer, we need the same thing. There are things that we are praying for God to withhold. Amen? You pray over your church that God would keep out any spirit and any attitude that shouldn't be here when we're having church services? Yeah. That's important. Because if there's somebody here and the Holy Spirit's working on them to be saved, and then there's somebody else here with a bad attitude, and their spirit pervades the service, and if it prevents a person from being saved, God have mercy upon us. Amen? Because that's part of our purpose, to see people come to Christ. So we need to pray protection over our church. We do pray physical protection over the property, the building, and God has taken care of this place. But we also need to pray for spiritual protection, that Satan would not have free reign. And then we pray for things. That the Holy Spirit would have the ability to move up and down every single one of these rows of chairs and touch every single person's heart. The Holy Spirit would have the ability to do whatever He wants to do when we're in His Word. We're in time here to worship and allowing Him to have this. He says here, praying always, he says, with all prayer and supplication. So when we look at the word always, it indicates that there is a season. There is a time. There is a season. And in Matthew 6, verse 6, he says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so we know that there is a season for us to pray. You say, when's the season? Always. But we know from Matthew chapter 6 that there are set times that we set aside that we are always there. Now, Levi's talking here about being consistent in our praying. And so as you think, well, we put together a prayer list. And I hope that, you know, you'll be able to use that to help you. But it's not just a matter of it's not like a shopping list. I just check it off as I go. But some of those people on that prayer list will be more precious to you than others. That's the way it's going to be. Some of those people you're going to know. Some of those people maybe you're not going to know, and you say, I need to know them. If they come to church, you'd say, how come I missed them? Amen? I mean, when I'm praying, I remember I see somebody's name on there, and I thought, boy, they weren't in church on Sunday. I say, okay, I need to go encourage them. I need to find out what's happening in their life. Why? Because that season of prayer will help me as I pray. Not only is there a season, but there is worship and request, prayer and supplication. We've got worship and request. Prayer is, you'd say, well, it's asking, but really the main focus there is to worship the Lord. And then he says, praying with all prayer and supplication, so I am requesting for others. And the importance of this is the order. First I worship, then request or petition the Lord. So that it's We've all done it. Rush into God's presence, needing help. And I don't think it's wrong, because God's always there for us when we come right. But we need to slow down, worship Him, and then take our requests, our petitions unto Him. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So he has that same order of prayer and supplication. Then he adds, oh, don't forget thanksgiving. If you just start thanking the Lord, you're sometimes there for a while, aren't you? Because there's just so much. Even when things aren't going well, thanking the Lord is a great thing. So we know there's a season. We know that there is worship. Then there's requesting of the Lord. Then there is the intercession of the Holy Spirit. He says, in the Spirit. And this is the knowledge of the Spirit combined with the will of God. Because in Romans chapter 8, and I like these verses, in verses 26 and 27, he says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us." There are times when I don't know. But you know what I tell the Lord? Lord, I don't know. I see a situation. Sometimes I can see a person and I know they're struggling, but I don't know what it's all about. But Lord, you sure do. Sometimes a person may tell you what's happening and it's not the truth. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit knows? You say, can I pray for the wrong thing? Not if we allow the Holy Spirit to determine what really is important. Yes, I can pray for the wrong things. I can pray selfishly. I can pray, you know, for my, you know, selfish purposes and what I want to see. But I need to allow the Holy Spirit. He tells us there that the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So He can do things and say things that we can't even comprehend. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what are we doing? We're praying, and you say, well, I don't know how to pray for this person. And you pray, Lord, whatever your will is for that person, would you do it? Now, if a person is unsaved and they've made it known to you that they're unsaved, it's not too difficult. When I'm praying that they would be saved, I know that is the will of God. So I can continue to pray there. But there will be many things that it's not for me to try and determine everything. Lord, you know what this situation is. You know why this is happening in my life. So, Lord, I'm going to turn this over to you. I want your will to be done. Remember in the model prayer, he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what are we looking for? I'm looking for God's will to be done as I'm praying, because I know that that's going to be right. Not my will. I usually have my own ideas, but I want to surrender my will back over to the Lord's will. And he also shows us that there is a spiritual alertness here. He says there in verse 18 that praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. So here we have a spiritual alertness. This instruction is to be watching, and this is an ongoing action. In 1 Peter 4:7, he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. In 1 Peter 4:7, be sober and watch unto prayer. So I'm watching, and how am I doing? I'm doing this with prayer. Lord, we need your intervention. God, we need you to work in this situation. I'll just tell the Lord how I think about it. I say, Lord, this is a mess. And sometimes I created it. You know what? I can go to him and tell him that. And he's there. He doesn't say, hey, that's your mess. You fix it. Sometimes I do have to fix things, but he's going to be there for me, amen? If I will take and turn that over to him and say, Lord, what's your will in my mess? He's not going to say, oh, you foolish child, too bad for you. He says, I'm glad you called. Yeah. And then there are more abundant times where it's like, Lord, this is a mess. I didn't create this mess, and I can't fix this mess, but I know, God, that you can fix it. And I think it's really important that we have a spiritual alertness. We watch unto prayer. This also involves being alert to see the needs and hurts of others and take them to the Lord in prayer. Father, so-and-so is hurting. They wouldn't say it, but I can see it in their eyes. I know them well enough to I know that they hurt. I know that something's wrong. And Father, maybe it's none of my business, but I bring them unto you. You can heal their hurts. You can help them. Yeah? It's important. A spiritual alertness. And then there is the responsibility to persevere and petition. That's right. The word perseverance and supplication here are in reference to our persevering in prayer and make requests of God according to His will. With all perseverance and supplication, and if you know something to be the will of God, then persevere in prayer. Just don't stop. If you'd like to read about somebody who really prayed, that was George Mueller. And that was back in the 1800s. He certainly knew how to spend time with the Lord. But he didn't get all his prayers answered. There were people that he prayed for that didn't get saved until long after he passed away. But what did he do? He kept on praying. He persevered. He would just pray and then believe the Lord and leave it with him. And I believe that perseverance is important. Matthew 21:22, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." It doesn't mean that we have a shopping list that we go to the Lord with, but that there needs to be a believing that we're praying in His will. Because 1 John 5:14-15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." So if I know that God is listening, I know that this is His will, then I continue to pray. Ephesians 3:20-21, he says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." So unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We pray, and like I said, it's not up to us to figure it out. Now God may give us some direction. Say, "Now that you prayed, I want you to go talk to that person." We need to listen. But we need to pray, "Lord, what do I say to them?" But we need to continue to pray, knowing that God can do above all that we ask or think. And then we notice here in Ephesians 6:18, it concludes in prayer, perseverance and supplication for who? All saints. And of course, he's talking here to the church at Ephesus. And I think their circle of people was a little bit less than ours is today, obviously. And so what's he looking at? He's looking at these folks in this church, that they be praying one for another. And the emphasis here is really on praying for people. I know we pray for events, but if you'll listen to the prayer requests that we have, it's largely for people. We have a prayer list, and what's on that? Names. We're praying for people. We have missionaries, and they'll say, "Pray for our children." You know, pray for, and they'll name somebody. They will never know that person or see that person until we get to heaven, but we've got a name of somebody, and we're holding them up to the Lord. And you think about your church, and you think about praying for one another. And what it'll do is it'll also draw us together as a church. Because as we're praying for one another, we're going to be concerned for one another, and our lives will also be bound together. Praying for people. So we find here we need to really confess all known sin, because we can't just waltz into God's presence and expect that He's going to listen to us if our heart's not right before Him. We need to recognize the Lord. We need praise and thanks and adoration, that worship that needs to go before the Lord. We need to have that on a continual basis. Then we can intercede for others, for our families, our relatives, our children, grandchildren, praying for our church, all the ministries in our church. Sometimes people say, you know, I've heard people say, "Well, I went to a certain church and, you know, they did this or they didn't do that." There's a part of me that wants to jump up and say, "Well, did you ever pray for them?" Of course, I don't. But sometimes people just complain. I said, you know, there's a part of me that says, "Did you go complain to God?" Because I can guarantee you, if you start pouring out your heart in complaint to God, it'll do something for you. If you've never poured out your heart in complaint to the Lord, it's pretty amazing. Because after you pour out all your complaint and you spew it all out there, then the Holy Spirit convicts you of all your complaining, and he turns all that prayer around and begins to focus it on, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? God, how can you fix the problems? Lord, what is it that you're in control of? And you are a sovereign God, and all of a sudden your prayer turns around and it goes from criticism and complaining and critique to, God, you are able, and with you all things are possible. So we have to take our complaining, turn it into prayer. Intercede for others, our church. What about our nation? We know from the Bible, he says to pray for those in authority. You say, oh, they need prayer. Yes, they do. And we need to pray for our nation that we will continue to have the freedoms that we have so enjoyed. And we need to pray that God will intercede for our nation. And then petition God for your needs. Lords, what's your will? I know we have parents. They're praying for their children. And it's a big thing, especially as your children are growing up. You want them to grow upright. You want them to make right decisions as they become adults. This is important. We have grandparents who are praying for their grandchildren, right? Why? Because we see how great the needs are, and you're petitioning God for all the needs that are in your family, in your home, in your life. Someone put it this way, and they found the secret. They say, I met with God in the morning when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered, all day long he stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered, other ships were sore distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. Let's have prayer. Father, I thank you that we can come to you so easily because of what Christ did for us on the cross. No more sacrifices, no more altars, and no more in the temple. But we can just bow our heads and come unto you in simple prayer. Thank you for all the many scriptures, and I know we don't have time tonight to cover every verse on prayer, that's for sure. But we thank you for the pointedness of your scripture to teach us. And Lord, I pray that this would not be a feeling of guilt that we need to pray more, but truly a knowledge of how we ought to pray and to just do, to just spend time with you. Help us, Lord, and teach us. Lead us and guide us. Father, if we do not have your presence and your power, it will become ritual. Our church will become tradition. Our families will just be going through routines. And so we need your presence, your Holy Spirit to guide us, direct us. Give us a sensitivity to the needs of others so that we'll continue to pray. Keep from us a spirit of criticism and unkindness or bitterness. Keep within our hearts a love for one another, a love for the lost, even when they mistreat us, to point them always to the Savior. Oh Lord, we thank you in the Savior's name, and amen.